Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It's another new work week, which means it's just another opportunity to be awesome at what we do out in the world. Thanks for dropping in. We've got a great trip report to get you out the door and down the road. We're headed to Charleston, South Carolina with listener Bill. Great interview today. It was storming during this interview like crazy in Charleston, so hang in there with the audio. It sounds pretty good. We got it down pretty well. But we talk about his trip back in April with some friends. They took friends down to Kidani Village to have a great vacation. We talk about the planning. We talk about him getting engaged at Walt Disney World. That's why he loves the place so much. We discuss memories from all four theme parks. He gives a great tip on when mobile order doesn't have a lot of availability, you still might be able to get that meal you're looking for and much more. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check out all the great free services they offer you as a platinum earmarked agency. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you sincerely to all of our patrons for supporting the show and allowing us to put out four shows a week here on the feed. Plus, our patrons get Mike in the Midwest, a mini podcast just for them, every Thursday. If you'd like information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1916 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you're having a great start to the week and that you had an awesome weekend. We get back together after we have those days off to rally around a fun trip report every Monday. You know, you got to go back to work. You don't have to go to school right now for most people, but you know what? You might have to cut the grass. And we're going to keep you company for the next 35 or 40 minutes talking Disney. And I can't wait for this one because this one, I'm going to be taking some of these tips with me on my trip here in about 21 days. I'm getting ready to head down and we got a lot of similar things happening here. So Bill's joining us from South Carolina today. Bill, thanks for taking the time to join us on the show today.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I'm happy to be here.
All righty. So how are things in South Carolina this summer so far?
Things are great. It's starting to heat up where the rains are here and the humidity's here. But other than that, love this part of the country.
Absolutely. I got to get down there sometime. Mike Bankhead's there, lots of other friends in that area. And got to go to a Clemson. I'm not going to go. I don't know where your allegiance is. I'm not going to go to a South Carolina Gamecocks game. But I will go to Clemson because the Gamecocks are kind of our rival at Mizzou now.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm originally from the Midwest, so I'm actually a Lion Eye fan. And I might have told you this before I asked to be on the podcast, but I'm a huge Cubs fan. So sorry I didn't tell you that before, buddy.
Oh, my gosh. I hope things have turned around after this weekend because this comes out on Monday and we have a little Cubs-Cardinals thing happening in the future from the time we're recording. So I hope we win a game. Let's just say. Okay, anyway, I know we could talk baseball all night, and I really don't want to talk about it right now because it's been a bad week, but we're going to talk Disney. That's a better subject for me at this point. 3 weeks ago, different story. But let's talk about, before we get into your trip from last April, heading down to Kidani Village with your family, how about some background? Like, you know, why are you a Disney fan? Did you grow up with it? Did you discover it later in life? You know, what's your background and your backstory as far as Disney?
Yeah, this might be an interesting one for you. I never went as a child. My wife and I actually met when we were in the military, and some friends of ours gave us a off-property one-week timeshare. So we kind of talked about it and where we should use it at, and we decided to use it at Walt Disney World. Well, back in those days, it was a lot cheaper to go, and I used to live in O'Fallon, Illinois, so we flew from there to Sanford, rented a car, drove over, stayed off-site, bought a park hopper tickets, and had a blast. But the one thing I wanted to let you know about that trip, why it's so memorable to me, is that we got engaged on that trip, our very, very first trip to Walt Disney World, and so we've been fans ever since, going for, I think it's about 13 or 14 years now we've been going, and we just love it down there.
Oh my gosh, I love hearing stories like that. Well, first of all, O'Fallon, Illinois, that's St. Louis. I used to speed skate over in Belleville, right down the street from O'Fallon. So Yeah, how can you be a Cubs fan? You're from St. Louis. Come on. I'll leave it there, I promise. But, so you got engaged down there. So did you have, like, a location? I mean, you got to tell the story. Everybody wants to hear this stuff. How did it happen?
I'll be honest with you. I had the ring stuffed into my shoe and my checked luggage, and I could watch security going through my bag, and I was so nervous. But it made it down there. I checked the bag, checked my shoe. The ring was still there and everything. But that kind of made me so nervous. I had big plans to do it in front of the castle or somewhere in one of the parks or whatever. But I don't know if the excitement got over me or whatever. But I actually did it the night we got there in the hotel room is where I ended up doing it. So,
you know what? I like that. Practical. And it's, you know, that way you got all the pressure off of you. Because all those folks who do these, you know, super romantic Disney proposals down there, I mean, more power to you, because the logistics of pulling off something like that, I mean, the odds are absolutely stacked against you. Just like you said, TSA could blow it. You know, I mean, I've lost so many, like, magic bands, and, you know, I lose stuff at Walt Disney World all the time. I mean, can you imagine your engagement ring? And the whole thing is, leading up to this, I remember our 15th wedding anniversary is tomorrow as we're recording. So it's one of those things that, like, you know, I'm thinking back on when we got engaged and stuff like that. And I did it just here near the house by the Missouri River. But just the whole stress of, like, I'm at Walt Disney World, but you got to keep thinking, oh my gosh, is now the time? Like, should we do it in front of the castle right now? The stress of that all, I like how you did it. You got engaged early on the trip, and I'm sure you just had a great time after.
Yeah, we did. I knocked the stress off right, and we had a great time. We basically celebrated the whole rest of the week, I'll never forget that trip, of course.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this, because you're a Super Disney fan, you're a DVC member, so you are bought in at the highest level that you can really do as a Walt Disney World fan. With the 50th coming up on October 1st, I've been asking folks, if you could bring back an attraction, a show, a promotion, anything, Disney asks you get to bring back one experience, what's one thing from your history with Walt Disney World that you would like to see return?
Oh, wow. I wish you would have asked me that in an email before. I don't really know. I don't have a good answer for you. I guess my whole thing is that I just like the way that the parks are going. I like all the new attractions that are coming. You know, it's kind of hard to see some of the changes, you know, as you go down there and watch the construction process. But the end result is just fabulous. So I can't think of one thing that I would bring back, but I definitely look forward to the future and what's coming around the corner.
What are you most excited for, though, coming up? Like Ratatouille, the Tron coaster, Guardians of the Galaxy, Space 220, which apparently it is going to open eventually. We've heard that before. It's supposed to open this fall now. Is there something that's really, you know, I can't wait for that to open and get that experience when it happens?
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to Tron. You know, back in the days, you know, I used to watch the original movie over and over and over. And then not this last trip, but the trip before, they had like a little demo of what like the carts, right, the ride vehicles would look like. And we got in them and it kind of got excited about it. And then just to kind of watch it, you know, on the Disney news sites, just kind of watch it coming together. And then last time we were down there, we got to see progress or whatever. So I'm really kind of excited about that for sure.
Same. Yeah. Scott and I were there for, I think, a race weekend, and they had those demo cars out there, the vehicles you're going to ride in. And I'm thinking, this is going to be something, because it's almost like being, it's like on the, you know, like on a motorcycle, and you're going to be on a roller coaster. So we'll see how that goes. I'm excited for that too. I think that's the thing I'm most excited for, because I, like you, now I didn't watch Tron when I was a kid, but that was the first movie I watched when Disney Plus came out, that and the Muppet movie. And I will say both solid movies. So if you need something to do this week,
nice,
and it's hot, check out either. Okay, so let's talk about your trip. Now, tell us who went down with you. You guys went back in April, stayed at Kidani. Before you get into the details of everything that happened, like, how did the trip come together? How'd you plan it all out?
Well, you know, we were locked down on COVID so much, and we, you know, we're watching the parks open back up. And, you know, we were a little unsure about whether we wanted to go down and, you know, wear the mask and, you know, had to worry about the heat or whatever. But at one point, it was right before around the holidays, some friends of ours were over, and my wife and I had talked about it. And we were like, hey, why don't we ask our friend Jara and her daughter if they want to go with us? You know, be April, maybe May timeframe. Things should start to open up more by then. And And that's kind of how the first, it all started. And then we actually ended up taking one of our friend, Jara, her daughter's friend, Kylie, with us. And we had an amazing time. So
that's awesome. Yeah, it is such a weird time. I mean, we're starting to come out of that, but you're right. When you were planning, you know, last winter time, it was travel. I mean, it's amazing how quickly we've kind of come out of this to a certain extent, you know, because travel, I heard the other day on the news that leisure travel is almost back to pre-pandemic levels. And I mean, it was still pretty locked down come last December, last January, people weren't traveling that much. So we've come a long way. We got a ways to go, but we're making progress, which is always kind of the goal of everything that we do. So when you invite these friends, how does the dynamic of planning go together? Because, you know, we're bringing my daughter Mallory's friend, who's never really gone to the theme parks. She's just gone down for cheerleading and just like gone in, cheered, and went home. Like, what? Who does that? You know, you go down there and go to the park. But that, anyway, but the thing is, you know, now we have more dynamics because we basically have somebody who's not in our core family that has all the experiences we have. So how did you work out like where we're staying, where we're eating, what our plans are when we get there? How'd you take care of that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I kind of actually enjoy the lack of the ability to overplan, meaning, you know, there were no FastPass Plus reservations to plan for. We didn't really have to worry about what everybody's preferences were. We decided early on that we weren't going to make dining plans for sit down type dinners. Because at the time, the mass policy was is that unless you were actively eating or drinking at your table, you had to be wearing your mask. And we couldn't see spending anywhere between $35 and $60 a plate to sit there. And we didn't think we'd really enjoy it. So we decided early on that we were just going to go with quick service meals. And also early on, the park hours and the way I picked the parks were pretty limited. Like, they were only open anywhere from 7 to 9 hours a day initially when we were looking at everything. And I was like, well, hey, that's about how long we stay at the parks anyway. So we'll just plan on that, you know, versus the park being open 15 hours a day. Okay, do you go early? Do you go in the middle of the day? Do you go late at night? It was already, our minds were already made up for us. So they did end up extending the park hours. And so we did kind of have to plan about a month out, kind of think about it. And I just kind of did it. I think everybody, you know, I think the good part about the folks that were in our party is that they're kind of go with the flow type of people. Right. So if, you know, and they told us up front, if we miss something, Bill, we're not going to know, you know, but I just still wanted to kind of show them a good time. And what ended up happening is we gave the teenagers the map when we got in there and I said, let's go. And we just kind of went on their schedule. And if they were getting off course, I'd put them back on track. But other than that, they kind of ran the show.
That's super cool. That's super cool. Because you know what? Having a laid back attitude, especially nowadays where there's not as much planning, like you said, you're not chasing fast passes. And you mentioned something about quick service dining. And I don't know if people kind of put this, you know, make the connection or connect the dots on this, but table service dining is an experience at Walt Disney World. Of course, you know, you can eat in a drive-in, you can eat with dinosaurs, you can, you know, eat in a rotating restaurant, all that stuff we talked about on Friday's episode. But if you go with a primarily quick service based, you know, dining trip, it gives you so much flexibility because you just eat when you want, you grab it, you go, and you just, like you said, if the park hours are shorter than your normal, you know, times that you're used to, that saves you a lot of time because as much fun as dining is, it locks you into being a certain place at a certain time. And then you're a good 90 minutes to 2 hours invested and that's gone. You don't get that time on the attractions.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So let us talk about, so I guess you guys are in South Carolina. You drove down, get to Kidani, or did you guys fly or drive?
We drove. We're pretty lucky. It's about a 6-hour drive from door to door, basically. So
jealous. Not bad. Not bad at all. Okay. So you get down to Kidani. How was the stay at the resort itself? Because, of course, Jumbo's still not open, but Kidani was for DVC members and anybody that wanted to book on cash. So how'd you feel at Kidani this trip?
Well, you know, like I said, we talked about it a little bit earlier, though, we're DVC members, and Kidani is our home resort. But that was the very first time we stayed there, and we've owned for 12 years.
Wow.
And the reason why we couldn't stay there before, didn't have the option, it's pretty popular. And when my wife and I were both in the military, we couldn't plan, you know, 11 months out or 7 months out. It was usually about 2 months out. So we always had to stay at maybe some of the less popular resorts. And in those days, it was Saratoga Springs or Old Key West. And, you know, things have changed now. But so we've stayed at those plenty. But this was actually the first time we ever stayed at our home resort.
So what did you think? How did it compare to those other places? Is it a place that is high on your return, you know, hopes, or is it a place that, you know, you could go every 5 years? What do you think?
Well, I have to be honest with you. I think it just depends on the experience you're trying to have. You know, everybody likes to be over at the Boardwalk or Beach Club because you can walk to Epcot or Hollywood Studios. You know, we love that area, but for DVC, you know, if, unless you're planning at that 7 month out mark, you know, it's kind of difficult to get into. If you're going to go down and stay, you know, at Magic Kingdom, you know, you want to try to be over in the resort area over there. I think the main reason why we liked it this time is that we were planning on driving to the parks each day anyway, versus using Disney transportation. And that's usually one of the downfalls, is that Animal Kingdom's kind of out of the way a little bit. But for us, it kind of made sense that since we were going to drive anyway, it just worked out. I tell you what, I never kind of really looked forward to staying there, even though it's our home resort, but I'm so glad we did. And we will definitely be going back.
So what kind of a unit did you have? Do you have a one bedroom or, you know, something with a Savannah view? What'd you have over there?
Yeah, we ended up staying in a two bedroom. It was a standard room. And the one particular things about those units for DVC is the two bedroom dedicated has a third bathroom. That was one of the main reasons why I chose that type of room, is so because we had, you know, five adults, two teenagers. And I tell you what, that third bathroom came in real handy.
You're right. That's a great point. Because the thing is, I'm traveling with my wife and two teenage girls when I go down next month, and I can see it. I may be using the restroom in the hotel lobby, the general public one, because I don't know if I'm going to get in there. That's a great pickup. I like that. That's smart. All right. So let's talk about the times in the theme park. So looking back here, you know, it's been a couple of months. What stands out, you know, not necessarily like all the attractions you did in order, but like, what are the stories? Like, what were the surprises? What did you come home with as far as memories from the theme parks?
Yeah. The first day, you know, the first, you know, I picked Magic Kingdom to go to on the first day because, you know, my wife and I go all the time, but they hadn't been in years, or some hadn't been at all. And so, you know, when you think of Walt Disney World, most people think of the castle and everything. So I kind of wanted it to have that wow factor. And I think it really did. You know, it's got the traditional, like I said, you know, with the castle, and that's everybody. And so I think after spending a bunch of time there, we ended up coming back to the castle right before we left to take all the, and I think from that day in particular, that was the highlight.
Nice. That's a great way to start. I know a lot of folks, because I tend to always book Magic Kingdom too for the first day, because I don't feel like, you know, that I got to see the castle for it to be vacation. You know, vacation started when you walk down Main Street, you go into the train station. That's vacation. But some people wait until like the last day of the trip. I'm like, what? How do you wait that long? You know, I'm with you. I got to kind of get it rolling off there. So you let the kids kind of lead the way. How did that day unfold? Did you guys get to do all the attractions you were looking forward to? Did you miss anything? How does that day unfold?
You know, basically, you know, what I tried to tell them, you know, when we walked into each park each day, is I would grab a map, give them, and I would say, but I tried to say, you know, you got some older people with you now, and we don't want to zigzag around the park. So if you could kind of do it in a oval or circle motion, that'll cut back on the zigzagging back and forth. And as far as every park went, except for the day we went to Hollywood Studios, that we just kind of went with the flow, just kind of did each section in order, did what we could while we were there, ate something if we needed to, and just kind of just tried to do a stroll, because when my wife and I go down there, we kind of tend to do it combat style, or, hey, we're pros. We know all the little shortcuts. We're, you know, we've seen a lot of the little side things that, you know, we've seen 10 times what they had never had. So it was nice to kind of slow down and watch them enjoy it and take it all in.
Let me ask you this, because I got to ask you, because you got to go land by land where you're not kind of doubling back all the time. Are you somebody who thinks the parks now are better without FastPass, or are you on Team FastPass? Let's bring it back as soon as we can. Where do you fall on that?
Like I said a little bit earlier, I did kind of like, for this particular trip, that I didn't have to do all the detailed planning with the fast passes and the dining. I do like FastPass Plus. I don't think it's necessary for some of the rides, in my opinion. I think if they just stick to the more popular ones, just so they can do some more crowd control and control the length of the line, I think that would be all right. But I didn't miss it for this trip, I'll be honest with you.
Okay, good point. I just like to get everybody's feedback, especially folks like you that have been there many times, because as the crowds build, I think the dynamics are changing, because I think, I had an opinion back last August when I went, when nobody was there. It was just a ghost town, and I've changed my tune at this point. But yeah, it is great to get everybody's feedback on that, because there's no right or wrong answer. It just depends on the goals of your trip. And you're right, it is so much nicer to not have to plan out your fast passes pre-trip. But I will bring up this point. Let me get your feedback on this, because my buddy Scott, who comes on the shows on Sunday nights, we talk about Disney all the time. And he says, but Mike, you are booking fast passes basically when you make a theme park reservation right now. Because, you used to make 3 fast passes, but you had to pick your park because you're making your fast passes for 3 attractions at the Magic Kingdom or 3 at Epcot. Now you're just saying, I have to go to Epcot on Monday and, studios on Tuesday. So he kind of made a good point that while we're not making fast passes, you still got to plan a little bit, which I would be fine with no plans at all. Just show up and let's roll, go anywhere you want. That's my style, because I'm very laid back, but I understand people need to know where everybody needs to be nowadays.
Yeah, I think I would. I like the reservation system, for what has happened with COVID, and, we're slowly coming out of it or whatever. I don't know if it's here to stay. I'm kind of up in there. I kind of would like to see how it all turned out. I guess more than anything, I'm a little bit indifferent about it. Either way would be fine with me.
Yeah, for me though, I go down a lot with a lot of, I'll run into a lot of friends that are in the area or that are vacationing at the same time that I've met through the podcast. It just makes it a little bit more challenging to say, oh, let's just all, we're all here, let's go to Epcot tomorrow. Well, shoot, I have a studios theme park reservation. So that makes, it's a very, just kind of specific challenge, but, I'm nostalgic for the old days. I miss the old Ultimate Park Hopper ticket, to be honest, before Magic Your Way. So that would have been, because I haven't been to a water park since those were free with your stay. So I'm kind of cheap that way. Now, I didn't ask you, did you guys get to go to all 4 theme parks while you were down there in April? Did you do all 4?
We absolutely did. Like I said, the first day was Magic Kingdom. The second day was Epcot. And there was the Flower Festival was going on with all the little food booths and everything. One thing I wanted to say about Epcot, because something kind of funny, you asked me what happened in Magic Kingdom that was memorable. Well, the whole time, the first couple of days we were there, they were calling for 100% chance of rain day long, but we all know that's not there very often. We ended up getting into riding Soarin' in the Land, and we were trying to make our ways over to the seas. That's not a very long walk. And it didn't look like it was raining real hard. But I will tell you, just in that short amount of walk, we got drenched from head to toe. And anybody who's been down there after you've been drenched from head to toe, it's not a real fun experience for the rest of the day. That's for sure.
You're right. And I would think Epcot's more of a challenging park once you are kind of soaked to the bone, because you tend to go in and out of the pavilions and they're very air conditioned when it's warm outside, and you stay in those pavilions for quite a while, because at Epcot you can tend to be inside more than others, but you have like you said, you do have a gap to get from point A to point B, from one experience to the next. So bummer that happened. I've been there many, many times with the wet shoes and all that stuff. So what, besides that, though, did you have any, special attractions that anybody enjoyed?
Well, I wanted to add this is probably one of the most memorable things that happened is, so after we stood in the seas for a while and we thought it was going to let up, we decided to head over to Canada to maybe hit up some of the food booths. Well, as soon as we got over to by Canada, it just unleashed, like it rained, it poured. So we found a little umbrella that the 5 of us were kind of just sitting under. Had went and got little snacks from a couple of the food booths, And after that, we were still standing there. It was still pouring. We all looked at each other. We were kind of like, what did we get ourselves into? And, you know, temper started to kind of, you know, flare up a little bit. And my wife just said, hang on, everybody. We're just rangry. Not angry, but we're rangry, angry because of the rain. So that was one of the taglines that we brought home with us, was rangry.
I'm stealing that one if it rains, and it sure will when we're down there this summer. I'm going to say Bill said we're rangry. I like it, Bill's wife, so we're going to steal that one for sure. I love that. Now, so anything else happened? It's kind of a shame, though, when the festival's going on, though. It is kind of a shame because, you know, it's meant to be just strolled around World Showcase, snack. You can't do that when it's raining. So did you bail early? Did you get to do, you know, most of the stuff in the park? How did that work out?
Yeah, we just said, you know what, we're soaked. You know, there's nothing we can do about it. And so instead of going around the World Showcase that way, we actually cut back over to Mexico. And it wasn't about that time. It kind of let up and the sun kind of came out. And we stopped and we took off our shoes and threw our socks away and kind of just let our feet air out for a minute or two. We put our wet shoes back on and then we just kind of snacked around World Showcase is what we ended up doing. And we had some amazing food and, you know, we shared plates and, you know, bites and everything. So it ended up turning out to be a good day for sure.
I love it. You made the best of a bad situation, and that's how we do it right here in Missouri. We just chuck the socks, squeeze out the shoes, and just roll right on. We don't have time to stop, man. We're having a good time. We're at Walt Disney World. That's a number one move. I love that. All right, so let's. Because I want to make sure we get all this in. How about the studios? So you guys went to the studios. What were some of the highlights over there?
Yeah. So the next Wednesday, and we went to Hollywood Studios. The big thing that happened this day, and I think this might, you know, might benefit your listeners, is that when we got there, a Slinky Dog was shut down, you know, and that's a major attraction. And so everything else was a little bit busier, you know, all the other attractions. So Galaxy's Edge, you know, Millennium Falcon. One thing that morning I tried to do, and I didn't get it at 7 a.m. And so the pressure that afternoon, and we ended up getting one at the 1 o'clock, and we only had to wait about 90 minutes to ride it after we got the virtual queue.
That's a lucky happening because it doesn't always happen. And plus then you didn't have to wait too long to actually have the experience. That's like a double, you know, it looks like the good charms were smiling on you that day to get that second chance boarding group.
Yeah. And that, you know, we what's the actual ride? Is it Smuggler's Run?
Yeah, Smuggler's Run.
Yeah, that was the longest we waited all week, and that an hour. It was, you know, closer to 45. So that was the longest we waited pretty much all day, or all week actually.
So did the teens like the studios the best, kind of looking back on the end of the trip? Because that's what I tend to hear. But then some kids, you know, some teens kids, you know, first timers tend to really, you know, they're drawn to the Magic Kingdom, but you know, the studios is really making headway lately. So what do they think of that part compared to the others?
You know, I was going to get to this at, you know, at the end when we got through Animal Kingdom, but I'll just go ahead and now, you know, at the end of each day, you know, we would ask, hey, what was everybody's favorite ride? And, you know, just depending on the person in the park, you know, we've got different answers or whatever. But to be honest with you, even with Rise of the Resistance and even with Smuggler's Run, and you know, Toy Story Mania and everything, I think everybody liked Tower of Terror, except for my wife. She hates that ride, but she loves Aerosmith. So
yes, I like it. That's, I'm with her. I can do Rock and Roller Coaster, but Tower, I can do it once. And I don't want to do it once, but I'll do it once with the family. But the people who do it over and over, no thank you. It's one and done for me, just to say I was there, get the picture, and I'm out. I just know I'm getting older. I can't handle it anymore. That's interesting take, though. That's really cool. Now, you mentioned Animal Kingdom. So let's talk Animal Kingdom real quick before we run out of time. How was your day over there? Because it's a big park, a lot going on. So what'd you guys do over there?
Yeah, this was another one of those days where we got in, we got the park map, and we basically followed, you know, a circle all the way around. We ended up with, at the end of the day, you know, with Flights of Passage and Kilimanjaro, the safari. And I think one of the best meals we had through the whole week, we actually ate at Flame Tree Barbecue, and it was my first time eating there, and we all loved it. So if anybody's looking for dining quick service at Animal Kingdom, I would highly recommend Flame Tree Barbecue.
And you're from South Carolina, so that says something, because I think you guys know a thing or two about barbecue down that way.
Yeah, we're known for a little barbecue, and my wife's actually originally from Texas, so she knows something about barbecue too, and we both thought it was pretty good barbecue. So
that sounds good. Well, hey, we're almost out of time, but before we wrap this up, I wanted to ask you, like, do you have any, you know, kind of, you know, the story you're going to remember from this trip, or any tips for folks that are going down with, you know, friends that maybe don't have as much Disney knowledge as to what they're getting themselves into? Like, what did you learn from this trip that might help our audience, or, you know, some kind of closing remarks here?
Yeah, actually two things. The first thing is kind of a reason. This was the first time we had ever mobile ordered, and we've been, you know, dozens of times. And one thing that happened to us at Lunchbox is that we couldn't pre-order. There was no pickup times available for like 3 hours. And we ended up walking up and just asking, can we order something? They said, yeah, you can order something, but you won't be able to sit down. So we were able to order something. It came out within about 5-10 minutes, and we just kind of hung out right there and ate our lunch. So even though we didn't have a place to sit down, they gave us food almost immediately. So I would say that if you can't mobile order it when you want to, I would try to go to a line, because it's at some places, and I think it's more because of COVID, they weren't letting you pass a certain point. I don't know what that looks like today. So I would say at least try if you want to eat somewhere, but your pickup window's, you know, longer than you're willing to wait.
That's a good tip.
And from like a memory standpoint, the very last night we were there, we kind of sat down and we're like, hey, what was everybody's favorite thing? You know, it was a good experience. You know, we had fun at all the parks. We got to do all the big rides that we wanted to do. We stayed at an amazing hotel. And we were sitting there getting ready to play some cards and talking. And the teenager said the best part of it were the memories that we made together. There was nothing specific. It was just like, just us having a good time, getting to know each other better than we already did. And I was like, man, that was just floored me. You know, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting, hey, the animals on the safari or the, you know, the Rise of the Resistance or something else. But that's what they left with. And I got to agree with them. We had a great trip, and I would do it all over again.
You know what? When you hear that as a parent, you know, as somebody who, you know, has younger folks traveling with you, that does warm your heart. Because as much as we want to, you know, hey, when we get there, there's this new attraction, Rise of the Resistance. It's going to blow your socks off, you know, or if you're an animal person, when we go on this safari, it's going to look like we're in Africa. Like we're, you know, it's incredible. But when the kids say, you know, it was just great being a family and being together, friends and family, and making the memories together. That is, I mean, when you boil it all down, we talk about attractions, restaurants, shows, everything here on the show. But the overall goal of this whole thing is friendships, you know, and family and just making memories together. And when you hear that, man, that is just like, I feel so good for you, because that's what I want to hear too.
Yeah, it was an excellent feeling.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this one up. But Bill, I wanted to, you know, again, thank you for giving us the time. I know that you got some storms going on in Charleston right now as we're recording. So we kind of made it through that. And hopefully there weren't any breakups on the audio here today. I think we're going to be all right. And also, I wanted to thank you and your wife for your service to our country. It's sure appreciated from my family and from all of our audience.
Hey, thanks, Mike. And I appreciate this. I've been listening for a long, long time, and I get a lot of my news and planning tips from here. And I know a lot of myself and a lot of your listeners appreciate it.
I sure appreciate that. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check out all the great free services they offer you for your next Disney trip, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Free way to support the show. One extra click. Prime Day, I think, is coming up this week or next. And it works with that, too. So if you're going to buy some stuff on Prime Day, just use our link, too, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons. You're allowing us to put out 4 shows a week here on the feed. Plus, our patrons get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. Thanks so much for your support. If you'd like to join us over there, just visit patreon.com facebook.com/BeOurGuest podcast. Give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And of course, you can subscribe to the show on YouTube and Facebook, and you'll get an alert every time we go live, and you can join us as we record the shows here. All right. Don't forget, we have our live shows every Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. You can call in, talk to Scott. He's with us. I'm here. We talk about all the Disney news of the week and get your feedback. So put it on the calendar, Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, Facebook and YouTube. Drop on in. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Hope you're doing great. So for Bill, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome week. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.